You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hey everyone, welcome to MLB.com Extras. I'm Alexa Datt, and today we are talking Marlins baseball. We bring in our Marlins reporter for MLB.com, Joe Fusaro. Joe, there is so much going on, man, with Giancarlo Stanton, Marcelo Ozuna, and Dee Gordon traded this offseason. We thought that the Marlins were potentially done because they were, you know, maybe discussing Christian Yelich and JT Realmuto, but they kind of pulled back on that. Now it seems like they could possibly be traded. What's the latest here?
Yeah, Alexa, momentum seems to be building toward, you know, possibly taking this from listening to potential offers to seriously considering it and actually pulling the trigger and completing trades and kind of making a clean sweep of what they're hoping to be or at least initially planning to be kind of a, you know, restructure. Obviously, you don't move a Stanton, a Ozuna, a Gordon without it being a major redirect. But they're at least initially anticipating Yelich and Realmuto being part of the bigger picture. But I think that, you know, as they're kind of looking at where they stand, either financially in terms of distraction, you know, the amount of questions these two will be asked if they're on the team come spring training or opening day, that this cloud will kind of hover. And let's face it, their value is at its highest right now. But what I've been, you know, told is the return will be an overpay. The Marlins have no urgency to move either one. Yet they want, you know, these are faces of the franchise, all-star caliber players, and prospect return will include those. And you know, I reported today that the Nationals, as well as the Braves, you know, are interested in not one, but maybe both. I know Nationals kind of would look at if they could somehow even pull off the big play and get a package deal for both of them, you know, they could be looking at the Dodgers as, you know, surpassing them to try to get to the World Series. So, it's going to come down to while I'm sure there's at least 15 teams on Yelich, at least a dozen in on Realmuto, a little bit slighter interest in Christian over JT for the fact that there's more need for outfielders. You know, there's three of those spots compared to one catcher. But, you know, it's going to cost a lot. It's going to cost, you know, Victor Robles, the number three overall prospect in baseball, right-handed power hitting outfielder in the national system would be a guy that would probably be a centerpiece in return for a Yelich. And keep this in mind, if you're Washington, you could be looking at, if you add Yelich, he gives you, obviously helps your chances to win it in 18, but he also gives you a little bit of protection in the outfield in anticipation of next offseason when Bryce Harper hits the free agent market. So, you know, there's a lot of return for a 26-year-old with 4 years remaining on his contract at very affordable, under $45 million remaining, that makes him very attractive to Washington. And Realmuto is just first-year arbitration. You know, his stock is as high as it's ever going to be. You know, he's a fringe, you know, he should, to my opinion, he was an all-star this year. He didn't get in. But, you know, he's certainly one of the top four or five catchers in the sport. So those two guys are hot and heavy in demand. The Phillies are a team. And, you know, but, you know, if the Phillies want to play in this ballpark to get Yelich, it may cost them Rhys Hoskins. So, you know, it's not going to be an easy return for anyone to make this trade. But I also think they could carry this to the trade deadline. But I think the Marlins may run a little risk in doing so, because if you take it to July, you're only then dealing with the contenders. And those contenders may not have the prospect package to get the deal done now. You could get, you know, the Phillies, the Braves, you know, the White Sox, if they were to want to be into, you know, teams with very deep systems that may not be right there to compete. So it should be a very eventful January in terms of getting those two guys. And from what I was told, you know, everyone's just kind of getting back from the holidays and just kind of getting there, you know, settled in. I think you're going to really hear Yelich, Realmuto talks come, you know, next week.
Yeah, but Joe, from what we're hearing from the Marlins, they want three minor leaguers and an MLB starter for each player, not for both players, but for each. I mean, that is a steep asking price. Is that really something that a team can afford, or is this just talk?
No, it absolutely is. When you look at, you know, what did Chris Sale go for? You know, what did, you know, these guys, that's the going rate. You know, it's, they don't have no urgency to move them. You know, these are guys that put you over the top. Now, you know, I think what you, more than a starter in the big leagues, they need a big league ready player. You know, a guy that, you know, is ready to come and be in your lineup. But it's going to cost two to three of your top prospects. It's not going to be, you know, they're not moving money in this. You know, you're getting 4 years, potentially 5 years of control with Yelich counting his club option, which is a very affordable $15 million in 2022, and 3 full years of JT Realmuto with, you know, if you have the chance to sign him long term. So, you know, these are all-star caliber players, face of the franchise players. You're going to get that in return, or the Marlins really have no reason to make this move.
All right, so if Christian Yelich does remain with the team, sources are saying that he's going to move to left. How is that going to work out in the outfield?
Well, he's played there before. You know, he won the Gold Glove in left field in 2014, and he probably is, you know, Marlins Park is very spacious, and Yelich can run and can handle ground, but I think if you look at a lot of defensive metrics, he wasn't up there among center fielders, and, you know, he was playing center field out of a function of, you had Marcelo Ozuna and Giancarlo Stanton out there. Stanton wasn't going to play center. Ozuna played it, but doesn't have the range that Yelich does. And you know, the kid Sierra, who they got in the Ozuna trade, is the guy can fly. One of the fastest guys in the league, and he's a center fielder. And Braxton Lee, the other, you know, outfielder now in the 40-man, the only three of them remain. Lee was double A, was the co-batting champ in double A in the Southern League, and he's a guy who probably profiles more as a fourth outfielder, but he draws a lot of a Brett Gardner comp. And from what I heard, he came over from the Rays system as part of the Adani Echevarria trade, and a lot of people I respect say he was defensively kind of in the ballpark with Kevin Kiermaier. So you're talking about a very elite Gold Glove caliber center fielder. So, you know, I would think as stands, if those are the three in the outfield, which I don't think that's how it's going to play, I think a move will be made. I see Yelich in left field, either Sierra in center or Lee in center. And if it's the three of them, Lee probably in right based on the arm.
Yeah, it's mix it up. It's 2018, right? Why not? And that's going to be an interesting outfield. Obviously, the loss of Ozuna and Stanton, who combined for 96 homers last year, is going to sting. Let's take a look at this lineup, though, as it stands right now. Where are they going to turn to replace that power in this lineup? And if Yelich and Realmuto are not moved, what does that mean for this lineup as it looks right now?
Yeah. The lineup right now, if you kind of look at it from if let's say they keep JT and they keep the infield as is, they keep Starlin Castro. Their infield isn't that bad. You know, you have Justin Bour at first base. You're looking at Castro at second. A combination of JT Riddle and Miguel Rojas at short. Riddle has a little bit of power, you know, not a ton, but, you know, he swings a bat, he gets on base. And Martin Prado returns from injury to play third, which allows Brian Anderson to start off in AAA, get a little more seasoning and be there. And then the outfield is the question mark. We do, you know, you're looking at Yelich as the centerpiece, assuming he stays. You know, that Sierra could be in center, the kid they got for Marcelo Ozuna. And then you're looking at Braxton Lee in potentially in right field. So I could see a batting order, Alexa, of, you know, you could start out with Sierra. And if you want to go speed, you could go like Lee and Sierra or Sierra and Lee leading off. You go to Yelich hitting third. You know, you're probably going to have Bour hitting fourth. You know, you got Prado, you got Realmuto to mix in there. And, you know, then you're following it up with probably Riddle. And, you know, as you make your way down the line, or you could go with something like, if you want to go left, right, you could go with like Sierra leading off, Castro hitting second, Yelich hitting third, Bour fourth, Prado fifth, Realmuto sixth. You know, and as you go down, that's not a bad lineup. It's not a power hitting lineup, but you got some quality players there who could get on base and maybe create some havoc. So, you know, I think the lineup right now, you sacrificed, you know, 96 home runs from a year ago, and Giancarlo Stanton and Marcelo Ozuna are now gone. So you're not going to be a home run hitting team, especially in a park like Marlins Park. So I think their lineup, at least offensively, is going to look a little more athletic, a little more speed, and a little more get on base and try to make things happen there.
I guess a lot of this will determine, you know, how this team shapes up if Yelich and Realmuto are part of it opening day. Let's talk about the Marlins' biggest need, which is pitching. Team ERA ranked 26th last season. Of the players that they acquired in trades or who they have right now, who do you see making the biggest impact on the rotation as it stands right now?
Yeah, you know, the trades they made brought in some really power arms in Sandy Alcantara and Jorge Guzman, you know, they come over in trades for, you know, Ozuna and Stanton respectively. But Alcantara pitched in at the bullpen like eight or so innings with the Cardinals late last year. They obviously, Marlins see him a frontline, you know, rotation guy. Guzman is like at low A ball. So he's, even though he throws up to 103 miles an hour, he's still a ways away. So I think you're looking at a rotation right now with Dan Straley and Jose Urania, you know, at the top of it. You know, those two both had over 10 wins last year. Actually, Urania led the team with 14. And then, you know, you got those guys, and then you got, you know, Adam Connolly is a little bit of a wild card. You know, he had a really good 16 season until he got hurt in August, and a very poor, you know, 17 season. But if he could bounce back, you know, then you got Dylan Peters, a kid who got called up in September, who showed a lot of promise before he broke his thumb. He was a guy that was probably the pitching standout of spring training last year. He is a guy who has a chance to compete for the rotation. And, you know, I think, you know, they got some Rule 5 players that they brought in that they think can contribute and be helpful in, you know, or at least get a shot to make rotation spot. But, you know, you even brought in a guy like Jacob Turner as a, you know, as a non-roster invitee. He gets a call in. He could be one of those spot starter long reliever types. But I think there's still going to be some moves that the team makes to bring in some rotation help, you know, mainly get, you know, a stopgap guy that could help if Alcantara opens up the season in double or triple A. You know, to me, Alexa, with young pitchers, the month of April is always very cold and no one's really kind of, you know, stretched out yet. You know, especially, you know, playing in the National League East when you're, you know, Miami's fine. It's got a roof and a good climate to begin with. But you go to New York, you go to Washington, Philly, you know, those places could get pretty cold. And I don't, you know, I think these teams, at least the first couple of weeks, don't mind their young pitchers that haven't really gone through it to try to avoid those weeks, especially if, you know, you could help on service time and other factors as well. So, you know, I think that there's literally no rush on any of their high-end prospects. So it's going to be kind of a rotation that might be piecemealed, you know, fronted by, like I said, Straley and Urania.
All right, now let's talk about the bullpen. Closer by committee is a term I've heard thrown out there for this team. Is that the direction they're going? Do they have one specific closer that they have their mind set on? Or is this going to be something that they're going to figure out as the season progresses?
Yeah, another guy you're looking at is Brad Ziegler. You know, he's one more year in his contract. He has, you know, over 90, I believe, career saves. Kind of took over that role when A.J. Ramos was moved. But I don't think they're looking at Ziegler to be the closer. He's a guy who has done it before, and he's a veteran. So it leaves it to a guy like Kyle Barraclough, who in 16, if you looked at his strikeout, you know, per nine was way, way up there. But his, you know, he had a little bit of decline in 17, and his command is an issue. So Barraclough has wipeout stuff. He can strike you out. He has a really good slider, and he throws in the upper 90s. But a guy I'm kind of keeping my eye on, Alexa, that could be the closer of this team, and it may not be day one, but it may be maybe before May and June, is Drew Steckenrider. A really hard thrower a couple of years ago. It was a standout in the Arizona Fall League. You know, a kid who came up through their system, you know, pitched a bit in the big leagues last year, showed a lot of promise, and, you know, he kind of has that toughness. He's a strike thrower, which is really important with your closer. And I think that we're going to see Drew Steckenrider get a really good shot at being a closer. And the rest of the pen, you know, the setup would be like Barraclough, Ziegler. You know, they have Tozawa still with the team. You know, obviously they're trying to move both Tozawa and Ziegler, if possible, to clear their money off the books. But, you know, they have some pitchers there. And I think, you know, they'll probably carry, again, you know, 13 pitchers, you know, a couple extra long relievers. Jacob Turner could fit into that type of role as well. So, you know, that's how it's kind of going to look for a while.
All right, Joe, a lot of moving pieces with this Marlins team, and presumably they're not done yet. As we close off the podcast, we're starting off 2018 here, asking our beat reporters, asking all of our team reporters, what the New Year's resolution for their team is, and what do you believe the Marlins' resolution is for 2018?
I think it should be a fresh start, just kind of a wipe the slate clean resolution. You know, clearly they've gone through adversity and a house cleaning, and I think that they just, you know, the resolution should just be like, this is a new day, a new era, and kind of leave the past. You know, leave 2017 in the rearview mirror, and, you know, just have a forward-thinking, fresh start approach to putting this franchise on the right footing to be a contender when their timing is right.
All right, that's going to do it for us here on MLB.com Extras Marlins Edition. Thanks to Joe Fusaro for joining us today. Until next week, thanks, Joe. Really appreciate it.